Welcome everyone to today's episode of The Lindsay Elmore Show. Today, we're going to be talking all about allergies. In the United States, around 40% of children have at least one allergy, and more than 50 million Americans suffer from them each year. Allergies are the sixth most leading cause of chronic illness in the United States, costing more than $18 billion per year. To make it worse, food allergies have accelerated since the early 2000s. From 2007 to 2016, the incidence of allergies rose almost 400%. And that's not good because allergies don't just present as they classically once did. Typically, when we think of allergies, we think of sneezing, watery eyes, perhaps some itchy skin. But allergies these days present as all manner of skin problems, digestive disorders, body weight instability, as well as playing a role in autism and autism spectrum disorders. Today, my guest is Inga Jung. We are going to talk all about allergies, the many ways that they present themselves, how they disrupt our overall ability to thrive, how they set our entire body on fire, and ultimately what we can do to change our lifestyle so that the allergies heal from within and the symptoms subside. Let's get to the show. Welcome to The Lindsay Elmore Show, a podcast for people who deserve to be healthy, with honest, open, and enlightening conversations with doctors, thought leaders, creatives, and spiritual gurus. You'll walk away with simple and tangible tips and tricks that allow you to live your healthiest life so you can pursue your dreams, overcome obstacles, and leave your mark. Born and raised in Sweden, my guest today, Inga Jung, graduated school as a chemical engineer. But at the time, nobody was hiring female engineers, and so she moved to Bangladesh and then to Venezuela. In 1990, she came to the United States, where she attended the traditional school for Chinese medicine in Miami, graduating as an acupuncture physician. She opened her own clinic, and her patients had amazing results, but one of them didn't respond quite as she expected. The patient would feel much better after treatment, but the ailment would come back time after time after time. Aches, pains, and digestive problems plagued the patient's life. This was not acceptable to Inga, and she started a quest to find the root cause. She found that allergies played a big role in patients with repeating symptoms that come back again and again. And she took courses to learn more about how we can remedy allergies. In 1998, she started treating allergies with a system called NAET. It was an excellent protocol, and she had great results, but it took a lot of time, a lot of money, and many, many visits. And so, a lot of patients did not finish their treatment, and many families had more than one child. Each child might have more than one allergy, and this became too complex to manage. In 2000, Inga began to experiment and research on other methods that could heal up the speeding process from allergies. By now, allergies are starting to become more and more common, with many people living far away from a practitioner. So she began to work on a protocol and system that patients could do themselves at home. In 2006, the Allergy Kit was born. It's a DIY kit that a family can use to treat everyone in the family, empowering them to take back their health into their own hands. And this has become her personal mission and passion. Dr. Inga Jung, welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show.
Thank you. I'm so happy you invited me.
I am happy that we get to talk today about one of the most common ailments that people have, especially in the United States. We have more than 50 million Americans suffering from allergies of some kind in this country, and 40% of children have some kind of allergy. And I think a lot of people think of allergies as like, oh, it's just, you know, some occasional sniffles, maybe a little bit of sneezing. But allergies are the sixth most common cause of chronic illness, with an annual cost of $18 billion. And talk to us first about all of the different ways that allergies can show up in our body, on our body, in our brains. How do allergies present themselves?
They can present themselves in so many ways. The most common, I think, what people think of, apart from coughing and sneezing, is some kind of rash or eczema. That is very common. People don't often think about aches and pains, that can come from allergies too. Of course, they know about celiac disease, they can't eat wheat, but I'll come back to wheat later on. So often, I think people, for example, we could just say a thing like kids who get ear infections all the time, and then they get antibiotics, and then they're fine for 2 weeks, and then they get the strep throat, and they get the antibiotics, and then they get 2 weeks, and then the same thing happens again. And what ear infections most of the time comes from is from an allergy to milk. And often kids don't want milk, but it's it's good for you. Milk is good for you. If they don't want milk, don't give them milk. And also just cut back on it. If they get ear infections, take them to somebody to clear that allergy. Another thing is children who wake up at night with coughing, and they may develop asthma. And that, the same thing, mostly is from an allergy to dust and dust mites. And who thinks about that?
Not many people. And the thing that's so profound about what you just said is, you said sneezing and coughing, so the respiratory system is involved. You mentioned skin rash, so atopy, and so the skin is involved. Aches and pain, so the joints and muscles are involved. You mentioned celiac, so the gut's involved. The sinuses are involved. Our circadian rhythms get involved with these nocturnal awakenings triggering asthma. And you know, I mean, I've taught so often on the show about how when you disrupt circadian rhythms, you are ultimately disrupting all of your everything.
Yeah, it's like also people, I don't know if it's all over the world or more here than anywhere else. Well, I think maybe Japan is kind of stressed out too. It's the work. They don't go to bed on time. They look at TV or computer just until they go to bed, and then maybe they have the television on in the bedroom. And yeah, and that causes also with the circadian rhythm is one thing, throws it off. And often if they go to bed when they think they have to, they are out of the rhythm. You have to go, what I do personally, I wash myself, do whatever I want to do. If I want to shower, I shower, brush my teeth. And once I start to yawn, I just drop everything. I stop to watch my computer like an hour before, but then I just drop everything and go straight to bed and fall asleep. And because if you start to say, okay, I have to do this first and I have to do this first, then all of a sudden it's 1 o'clock and you can't fall asleep. The other thing is that the liver starts to detox with the gallbladder and the liver between 11 and at night and 3 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock, 11, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. And So the brain does it detox at the same time. So if you don't detox your brain, you don't detox your liver, everything is on fire. Mm. And it is this fire that we, most people are suffering from.
And when that internal fire gets turned up, it's driving inflammatory processes everywhere throughout the body.
Everywhere. And of course, the digestive system, but the brain. I mean, today, Alzheimer's is hitting younger and younger people. I once had a client who, he wasn't even 50 years old, and he had a daughter who was 5. And he took his bicycle to go somewhere and he forgot where he was. I mean, he was seriously aggravated, sick from it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And so when we think about sort of toning down this internal fire, you mentioned going to bed earlier, but if our listeners are experiencing allergies from different sources and maybe they don't even know the source, how can people begin to understand that my chronic congestion is not normal, it's a symptom of something that is underlying?
And it is what we eat. Unfortunately, the so-called SAD diet, standard American diet, it's all inflammatory. The thing with wheat, I'm sorry, so sorry to have to talk about wheat, but first of all, it's very toxic. So all these things now with the being gluten intolerant, when I think they are toxic intolerant, even though the thing with wheat is that it has been hybridized for 70 years. It's not what it used to be 70 years ago. And farmers, they spray the wheat 2 to 3 days before they harvest it so that the leaves fall off. And the toxins just goes up to the grains, of course, and that is what we eat. On top of that, the protein, one of the proteins is lectin, makes holes in the intestinal lining, and that allows the undigested or partially digested food go out in the bloodstream, and that is where the allergies come from.
So let me ask one question just to make sure I understand. The hybridized wheat, is it the lectins with a C that we're talking about? So that's what we're talking about that causes the holes in the gut. Okay. All right. Great. Just making sure I understood. So go ahead.
Yeah. And then it has another protein. I don't remember what it's called now. It has an opiate-like effect. So people are addicted to wheat. And that's why some people eat it 4 to 5 times a day.
Yes, these are the gluteomorphins that act in the brain like morphines.
And some people even get high from it. And so then if they stop wheat, they get withdrawal symptoms and they say, no, I'm much better off not stopping because I don't feel good when I don't eat it. So they go back to the same thing again. But if we are going, the other thing is sugar, of course. And wheat also spikes the blood sugar. So it's not only, I mean, it turns into sugar. So it's not only eating sugar. It's just if they stop the sugar and just take wheat, it would still play with their blood sugar. And blood sugar intolerance, we know that is it 3 people out of 4 who is either overweight or obese. And every single one of them, well, maybe not, but say 90% of all these people, they have a problem with blood sugar. The problem is that they go to the doctor, they get their yearly test and they are fasting and the blood sugar comes out normal. Or maybe a little elevated, and the doctor says, that's nothing. Well, what happens when they eat? Nobody measures that. And this blood sugar, one of the symptoms of blood sugar imbalance is really to have a muffin top or a little tummy. Even if you're not thick or fat, you can have a tummy. And that is a sign of blood sugar imbalance. So if you are more overweight and you keep doing this and you can never lose weight because of it, it's almost impossible.
It is almost impossible. And we have so many people that are overweight or are carrying just a couple of extra pounds around the midsection, which is a sign of what it sounds like you're saying is this is a sign not only of blood sugar imbalance, but an underlying allergenic response to wheats and an inflammatory response to sugars.
Yes. So I met one person the other day who said, I don't know what to do because I'm so addicted to sugar that I can hardly breathe without eating sugar. And she's traveling, so I haven't gotten hold of her yet, but the allergy kit that I have created, what it does, it helps with the cravings. So even if you have horrible sugar cravings, if you eliminate the allergy, I call it an allergy, but it's of course much more than that because it's also candida. That's why they crave the sugar, because the candida bacteria, they're sitting down in the stomach saying, give me more sugar. Otherwise I can't make more. So that is why it's so, as soon as they stop weights, they get those cravings. But doing the allergy kit, and when they do the second treatment in the allergy kit is for sugar. Sometimes they have to do it more than once, maybe 5 times. And I would recommend that they do it once a month or every other month, because there is sugar in everything. So then it can come back. So if you really want to stay away from and not have cravings, because that's the idea. If you don't have cravings, it's not a problem.
So what are some of the other worst offending foods that go beyond wheat causing inflammation on so many different levels and sugar causing inflammation on so many different levels? But do you think that there are foods that generally pretty much everybody should avoid, and maybe some that you think that maybe are pretty beneficial for everyone?
Oh yeah. Well, nothing is for everyone. Everything is never for everybody. When it comes to food, now we can look at the non-organic food, which has the glyphosate, which unfortunately is in everything today. We even breathe it. But at least to eat organic food, we avoid the heavy spraying of food. Because the glyphosate, they say, it's not harmful for people. But what it does, there is a pathway called the Shikimet pathway, where enzymes and bacteria have to travel into the digestive system to produce and create the right milieu for digestion. So this doesn't happen. So that's another thing why people get gut problems. And when they get gut problems, they get brain problems. And the other way around too, people who get, and I don't know how well known that is, everybody who has a concussion or a head injury, you can take football players and all kinds of people like that, their digestive system gets affected, because it's a direct correlation with the vagus nerve, between the nerve, the brain and the digestive system.
Talk to us a little bit more about this gut-brain connection and how it could lead to behavioral problems. Because, you know, one of the things in doing research for today's interview that I was looking at is food allergies have grown exponentially over really the past about 15 years. Autism diagnoses and children on the spectrum, and what we used to call Asperger's, where children have difficulties expressing themselves, expressing emotions, creating genuine human understanding through eye contact and touch. And you talk about that sometimes kids who are on the spectrum who have these behavioral problems, there might be a gut problem at the root of it.
All these kids are very, very sensitive. They all have, most of them have constipation. And some have diarrhea, some have both. But constipation is one of the biggest things. And when they're constipated, they also collect more toxins. And specifically, if they don't eat organic, it's just a double whammy. But these kids crave wheat, sugar, and milk. That's all they want to eat. And I know families, when they have, the kid has behaved well, they have had him on a good diet, and then they say, okay, let's go to the pizza place and have fun. And the kid has a breakdown, a meltdown, and everybody around looks at them and say, oh, what kind of parents are they? He's having an allergic reaction. It doesn't have anything to do with behavior.
Go ahead, because I think that that could really give some parents listening some hope about how they can help children to not have these profound behavioral outbursts by simply addressing what they're eating.
Yeah. And I know I have a mother of three, and her youngest child is on the spectrum, is highly autistic, functional autistic. He would only eat crap, everything processed, mac and cheese, hamburgers, would never ever taste anything that would have anything green on it, God forbid. And so she started with the allergy kit, and the kid now, first of all, he's much, much calmer. And he tastes everything she wants him to taste. And sometimes he does not like it, and other times he does. At least he tries. And he's eating salads for the first time in his life, and he asks for it. And his behavior is much, much better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that idea of cleaning up a child's diet, but I'm assuming that that wasn't the easiest thing to do when a child is, as you said, craving wheat, milk, and sugar all of the time. And so we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. When I was first asked if I wanted to join the Ula Guys new network marketing company, I was skeptical. I didn't know that that was the direction that I wanted to go. But then I had a vision. I thought of what would happen if I started sharing with just a few people and they started sharing with just a few more. And together, we set goals and encouraged each other to actually be accountable and accomplish them. What if people who set goals with me and my friends actually changed their lives for the better? Finally lost the weight, paid off the debt, quit the job they hated, went on dream vacations, and cut toxic people out of their lives. What if people's lives could be changed for the better because of Ula, just like it was for me? I set a goal, a vision, and I recognized that it was a leap of faith. What if in a year from now, tons of new people I knew had greater self-worth, more self-confidence, and worked with greater integrity, gratitude, and humility than ever before? I decided that I wanted to make a video that allowed me to sit and cry tears of joy because of the transformative process that people had gone through. Find out more about how you can be a part of that video by heading to www.lindseyelmore.com/ULA. Come to our next meeting, join our team, and go on a journey with us to set goals and be encouraged to accomplish them one day at a time. And now, let's get back to the show. What were some of the approaches that you took, and perhaps describe some of the approaches that are in the allergy kit?
Yes, so the kit is, I can show a little bit what it looks like.
And we'll describe it for everybody who's just listening. So we've got a nice little box here.
Yeah, so it's a, this is what it looks on the outside, and this is what it looks on the inside.
And so we've got lots of vials in there.
Yeah, so it depends on which kit. There is one kit that only has eight vials. That's the basic kit. And that kit is in every other kit. So you have to start with the basic first. And the first treatment, the first vial contains egg, chicken, milk, dairy, vitamin C, and parasites. So we have, some people say, oh, I don't eat, I'm a vegan, I do not eat eggs or chicken. But we came from an egg. So that's the reason. Number two, when we are born, we get milk. And when we start to eat, we get vitamin C. And we are warm-blooded animals, so we all have parasites. Mm-hmm. So that's the first treatment. And sometimes I had, for example, a girl, a three-year-old. She was four, she had her fourth birthday while I was treating her. Her mother didn't want to do the kit on her. She wanted to come to my office. And she was covered in eczema from top to toe. I mean, and itchy. So the poor little thing. And I treated her for the first vial, but they came back. She was still, because I do muscle testing, which I wish everybody would learn. And I treated her a second time, and she came back and she was weak again. And then I divided everything. So I looked down what if she was allergic to egg or chicken or milk or vitamin C or whatever. She was allergic to chicken. Everything else was strong. So the mother said, oh, that's almost all I give her. So I treated her for only chicken and said to the mother, don't give her any chicken for a couple of weeks. And when they came back 2 weeks later, the girl was totally clean, not one spot on her. Mm. So sometimes I'm saying this because sometimes you have to go deeper because there are several things mixed in the vials. So the second treatment is for vitamin B and sugar, because we need the vitamin B for our nerves and a lot of other stuff. And as I said, that sometimes has to be treated a few times or come back to it. The third treatment is for toxins. You know, babies today, they are born with, some say 200, others say 500 toxins and chemicals in their umbilical cord. Whatever it is, it's too much. It should never be there. Mm-hmm. And number four is vaccines, and especially the kids on the spectrum, and even grown-ups sometimes, they feel a difference after they have done the vaccine treatment. Then treatment number five is for sugar again and candida, because it is so common. And then number seven is a mixture of everything that was in the six first vials and plus endocrines and organs. And they're all treated at the same, so you treat always with two vials. So the second vial is a stress vial, because whatever you have, if you have a cold or allergy, every cell in your body is under stress. Mm-hmm. And that was something I found out when I was treating people in my office. There was a couple of people that it was hard. I had to do it several times, and I realized it was because they were very tense. So I created the vial for stress and had much better results. So I added that to the kit. So everybody has to do the stress vial.
So how, when I have all these little vials in front of me, how does this work? How do I use it I'm assuming it's a daily basis for some time, or how do you use it?
Okay, so you use one, you start the first seven vials, they're numbered 1-3. I explained what's in them. And so you use, for example, vial number one and the stress vial, and you put them over your belly button, and then you shine with a laser over them, over the belly button, and then over the head and the ears, and then the belly button and the head and the ears again. And then you do what we call four gates Chinese treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And to avoid reactions. Some people can have reactions, and sensitive kids or sensitive people, they can have reactions. And with kids, I always recommend that they do it with a surrogate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's such an interesting thing to combine Chinese medicine, which I am a huge fan of Chinese medicine. So explain to us a little bit more about this four gate theory. That's something that we've never talked about here on the show.
Okay, so the four gates, it's something that balances the upper and the lower and the inner and the outer. That's what they are for. And I mean, the points are very important points. It's the large intestine four. I think everybody more or less know what large intestine four is, the between the thumb and the forefinger. And then the corresponding point on the foot, which is liver three. So these are very, very important points. And by treating them, so you treat them in a circuit. You start with the left hand, left foot, right hand, and finish with the left hand. So you close the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that does. I mean, otherwise I would probably put needles in, but sometimes I do, when I used to do acupuncture. After COVID, everything has changed.
Yes, and so it makes us creative.
So then I would do a treatment, just those four needles, and people would feel so relaxed and different. It's a very deep treatment, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then you only treat every other day. You have to wait 48 hours between, because even if you don't have any reaction, you don't feel anything, things are happening in your body and the body needs to recuperate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so giving that body that time to relax after the, you know, potential stress of an exposure and a drainage and a detoxification, because the body does need that time to move everything out. And so talk to us a little bit more about stress, hormone imbalance, weight gain, sleep issues, and just not feeling well, and that overall failure to thrive that so many people have.
We talked about sleep. Sleep, if you don't get enough sleep, it affects so many things. The hormones, it affects the blood sugar. The blood sugar goes up and can make you pre-diabetic or diabetic. I mean, not only that, but that is one of the big adjunct things that happen. And weight gain and cravings, not sleeping, stress, the same thing. It shoots up the blood sugar. And I lost my train of thought.
It happens.
You know, I recommend everybody that they should get the blood sugar meter, a glucose meter. Because as I said, you go to the doctor and you get your blood sugar fasting. And the allopathic doctor, normal doctor, they say, okay, if you have 120, you are diabetic. What happens when you're 119?
Mm-hmm.
And it's proven that even 110, by 110, the retina, you know, that what's happening to diabetics, that they lose their sight, and neuropathy starts already when your blood sugar is at 110.
Mm.
So I think everybody, if you want to lose weight and you have sugar, especially with sugar cravings, which I think practically everybody has, getting a blood sugar meter and checking what foods spikes your blood sugar. And I'm starting to think that when the blood sugar goes up, that's also an allergic reaction. I didn't think about that before, but it is to some point, because there is no reason why, when you're eating certain foods, I mean, we know that fruit has a lot of sugar, but it shouldn't go, it shouldn't spike.
Right. I mean, you think about blood sugar spikes, and they are absolutely for sure well documented to be inflammatory responses. Yes.
So with all this, and with the inflammation really in the whole body and the brain, because, you know, so many people also have foggy thinking. They can't think straight. They can't concentrate. They forget. Why did I come in here for? What am I looking for?
Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody say, well, it's one thing. It's not good that either. But if you go and you can't find your keys, that's not good. But when you forget what the key is for, then it's serious.
Oh, no. Yes, it is.
That happens.
It does happen, and it happens regularly. And it is a symptom that can be addressed very early on, helping to prevent us from having these full-blown problems all throughout life. We've mentioned several digestive problems that can happen. We talked about how we can have expansion of the gut lining, and we've also talked about yeast overgrowth that can be driven by sugar. What other digestive complaints? You know, you mentioned children with autism tend to have chronic constipation plus or minus diarrhea. What other chronic digestive issues do you see manifest that could also be driven by allergy?
Well, I look at diabetes and pre-diabetes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And also when it comes to Hashimoto's, for example, those autoimmune diseases or disorders, or because they are, if you think about when you're stressed, and these stress hormones, they are released. One of them is glucagon, which is a sugar, and it goes to the thyroid, and well, that, then it starts, and then the whole thing goes wrong. And unfortunately, if women go to an allopathic doctor and they say they only measure one of the thyroid hormones, and they say, you're fine, you're okay. And they say, well, why do I feel like crap?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they have a thyroid problem, and it's not detected until somebody sends them to a specialist, and not necessarily an allopathic specialist, but somebody who is into more about finding the right tests for them and putting them on the right diet. I mean, first of all, I think I look back. When I came to the United States in 90, around that time, they started to have fat-free. All of a sudden, everything was fat-free, but they added sugar. And I can only see that the Americans, they have become fatter and fatter and fatter ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are so used to eat things out of a box that have 5,000 ingredients. If there is more than 3 or 4, throw it out. And check what's in there. And the same thing, organic. But if you look at processed foods that are gluten-free, they're not good for you. Nothing processed. Processed is very fire-inducing. And of course, all the fast food.
Mm-hmm.
And non-organic. I mean, people go for lunch and they buy, well, it's cheap, you know, it costs a few dollars instead of maybe $2 or $3 more to get something or make something at home and bring with them. It's all a habit. But maybe because of the situation they are in, they're also too tired to cook. So it is a vicious cycle. But they are the only ones. I mean, I am the only one who can help myself. Nobody else can. And there is no pill. There is no magic pill. No. Only thing is to just make a decision. Go on a fast. Go on a 3-day fast. It's all a mindset. And only drink water and to start to reset your metabolism.
Yes, and I'd love to end just by asking you one final question about testing, because, you know, I think so many people, they go to clinician after clinician and they never find the answers that they are looking for. And so talk to us a little bit about what are some of the more in-depth tests, both laboratory tests and just internal investigation, that people can do that's going to help them to better understand what is causing them these low-grade allergic reactions that are leading to all kinds of problems.
Yeah, apart from looking at their own food, what they are eating, because they have to start there. And for testing, they really have to go to a functional medicine doctor, functional, some MDs are functional doctors, chiropractors, acupuncturists, but alternative, and then they have, because the functional medicine is a lot. I'm studying endocrinology myself, and it's a lot. It never ends. But there are tests, you just have to get the right person to ask all the right questions, because that is really where it is. You have to, everything, what you, when you go to bed, what you eat, how you feel after eating. One thing that I recommend people to do to get an idea is to write a food journal. How do you feel when you wake up? Do you feel like a truck hit you, or you have to hit the snooze button, or do you jump out and say, hurrah, it's Monday? And then everything they put in their mouth, everything. And then try to, I mean, you can use the phone nowadays, just talk into it. And at the end of the day, how did the day go? Did you have to reach for coffee or sugar in the afternoon? How did you feel when you got home? Did you just slump and eat some other crap?
And so really, really taking into account, how do I feel, not just what am I told about my own health?
No. And as I said, I am the only person, and my person, my soul, my inner me knows everything about me and knows that it can heal too. But I have to be the one who holds the reins on myself. And in Chinese medicine, they say you can do anything to your body up till you're 28, between 28 and 30. Then it starts to build up. 36, boink. How many men don't die at 36, wake up dead from a heart attack?
Right. Yes. I mean, there's so many things, you know, we've talked a lot on the show about the toxic bucket and how when you're really young, your spigot at the bottom of the bucket is just able to drain all of those toxins and all of that inflammation directly out. But as we get older, it becomes more challenging. And the more toxins that you pour in to the problem, the more significant that it all becomes.
The other thing is, I think people, even though they say, okay, I'm gaining a little weight, but they don't realize how much worse they feel if they compare with when 10 years before or 15 years before, because it's becoming so, never feeling good, but not being aware of not feeling good.
Yes.
Add up with all these fire foods. So, and it is maybe not easy to know what to eat, but there are certain foods that are, of course, good for you. But as I said, everybody is different. Some people can live on raw green food. I'm one who cannot. Mm-hmm. There are other people who can't stand meat or that kind of food. We're all different. And we have to monitor what is good for us and go after that.
Yes, absolutely. You are your best clinician, your best observer. You're the best person to take inventory of what is going on in the diet and inside of your body. So listeners, go and check out theallergykit.com and you can find out more about Dr. Inga at www.dringe.com. Dr. Inga Young, thank you so much for coming in and being a guest today on the Lindsay Elmore Show.
Thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
This is your last chance, friends. The last chance that you will have to watch all of the Metabolic Makeover for free online. Encore Weekend is happening this weekend, September 11th to September 12th, 2021. And this will be the last chance that you will have to hear me interview more than 30 doctors, dietitians, clinicians, pharmacists about how we can reverse metabolic illness. Metabolic disease is more than just diabetes, high cholesterol, and high blood pressure. 88% of Americans have low-grade metabolic dysfunction and they don't even know it. The problem with that is metabolic dysfunction can derail your sleep, your energy, contribute to weight gain, disrupt hormone function, and ultimately lead to chronic inflammation and illness. By the time that you finish the Metabolic Makeover Summit, you will understand what is causing your metabolism to go awry and how you can fix it. Head to metabolicmakeover.byhealthmeans.com to sign up now to watch the Encore Weekend. That is www.metabolicmakeover.byhealthmeans.com. The Lindsay Elmore Show is written and produced by me, Lindsay Elmore. Show segments are produced by Sue Procco and Derek Lugo. Sound design and editing is by Jive Media. Support the Lindsay Elmore Show by heading to lindsayelmore.com/podcast. Your contribution, no matter how big or how small, helps us to bring the best guests to the interview chair. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Share this and all of your favorite episodes with a friend and on social media. Be sure to tag at Lindsay Elmore Show and help us bring the pod to more people.